He has been fighting this from the start of the service. I'm sure the praise team felt it. But you know what? We got the victory anyway. So let's get into this. What God gave me for this morning is this topic. Children are dismissed. No, that's not it. Someone said, you know, Pastor, every time you get up to preach, the children run out of here like they're... I didn't realize I had that effect. But the title of this message is, Where's My Immediately? Luke chapter 4, verse 38 and 39. Lord, anoint this word and let me preach only what you want me to preach. Now Jesus arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, Simon Peter. But Simon's wife's mother was sick. You know, when your mother-in-law, never mind, with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately, say immediately, she arose and served them. She went from the sick bed to the kitchen. Jesus may have had ulterior motives. He was hungry. I don't know. Luke especially, God help me to preach. Luke especially uses this word. I think he used it with Jesus about seven times just in the book of Luke. Seven, immediately, 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 immediately. And we read those, and sometimes we ask, where's mine? I've been fighting this battle for a long time. I've been praying, or I've had some progress. It's been step by step, miracle by miracle, but why can't he just get me there right away? We've all experienced immediatelys, but we've also all experienced the wait, and the wonder, where is he, and why is it taking so long? Why do I have to suffer sometimes if I'm a child of God? In fact, why is there pain anyway? You know what? The world has gotten on this kick lately that every time something bad happens in the country, people will get up and say, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. And they mock them. They say, well, if you've been praying for him, why did it happen? If you're praying for him, why isn't there a miracle? And they make fun of the saints who pray. But what they don't realize is prayer is not just an automatic thing, but prayer is a place of warfare. And though the battle's won, there's still a fight to be had. And prayer is that fight. So why is there pain? There's pain because of the devil. There wasn't pain in the garden, but because of sin. It's not that God can't do anything, it's because sin has been allowed in the world. And it's a battle, a war, that we can overcome, come on, overcome the pain that the world and Christians face. It's because of sin. It's because of the devil. You say, why did God allow it? God allows it because there has to be a choice. He's not going to make us serve him. So pain came into the world, and we suffer at times. We suffer at times. Saints and those who aren't saints. But Jesus was on a mission in John 10:10. He was on a mission. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. The devil's agenda, compared to the Lord's agenda. His agenda is pain. Jesus' agenda is life. Is life. Pain. Okay. So why pain? Pain is a sign that something's wrong. I remember as a teenager, and I don't remember the name of the movie, and I only remember one scene from the movie. It's really weird, but it's always stuck in my mind for some reason. I think the Lord, I wasn't even saved when I saw it, but the Lord put it in my mind so I'd have an understanding of this. And I don't remember how it happened. I don't know if it was, you know, a genie or a dream or a wish come true or I don't know what happened or some doctor. But anyway, this guy was granted a wish that he would never feel any pain again. And at first he was like, yeah, this feels wonderful. But the only part of that show that I remember clearly is he just took off his shoes and he was just walking barefoot. And the camera zoomed in on his feet and he walked over broken glass that ripped his feet open and left a trail of, he was bleeding out, but he never knew it. Didn't realize it. Didn't realize he was bleeding to death. Didn't realize his feet have been torn open because he couldn't feel it. Sometimes pain is just a way of saying, yeah, something needs to be fixed. Something needs to be healed. The enemy has conquered. But God is able to overcome the pain and the hurt. Jesus, help me. The second thing you need to realize is that ultimately, all pain will be gone. Oh, I thought five people would run the aisles right there. Revelation 21:4. I forgot to bring my sheet here, so I'm relying on you to put the scriptures up there. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no pain, for the former things have passed away. Somebody praise the Lord. Ultimately, God will deal with pain. We'll go back to the garden and we'll feel nothing but joy and peace and healing and everything. But while you're hurting, I have some advice. Number one, while waiting, you need to understand that you need nourishment. Revelation 21:4. You need nourishment. You need to stay in the Word. You need to be around other Christians. Did I make a mistake? I'm sorry. Psalms 23:5. But remember that scripture too. I don't even look at this one. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You need nourishment. Hang on to this scripture, because in the presence of your enemy, in the presence of pain, in the presence of hurt, he prepared a table. It's a promise that says, I don't care how much you're hurting, the supper table is full. He prepared a table. That means everything will be all right. Just dig in and start eating. Stay in the Word while you're hurting, while the pain is going. Can anyone testify to that? My God, let me tell you, the enemy's fighting this. He does not like it. Someone said it's like the manna season. A manna season. What's a manna season? How many know the manna would come once a day in the morning? And you had to collect it when it came. And you couldn't collect any manna for tomorrow. You can only collect what you needed today. And tomorrow you had to trust that the manna would fall again. There are seasons. Sometimes he's just God of enough to get you through until he becomes God of more than enough. One of my favorite scriptures is when Joshua crossed over the river Jordan into the promised land, and the Bible makes this statement, and the manna stopped that day and never fell again, because they were now living in the promised. Sometimes God uses your pain to get you somewhere. For 40 years, they hurt, wandered in the wilderness. And I'm not saying your pain's going to last 40 years. But I'm saying there are seasons where nothing's happening. But there are seasons when you cross over to another side, to the promised land. Somebody needs to praise the Lord. You know, we can fight the devil better if y'all praise him more often. What did that song say? The devil drowns in the praises of God's people. Is that the exact language? Okay. Well, we sang something like that. Well, glory to God. You need nourishment. Nourishment. Number next. While waiting, realize you always will have hope. I like that scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant. Listen, I want you to hear this. I don't want you to be in the dark about this. I want you to have knowledge, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Verse 18, he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know, you know, in 44 years, I've done 2 or 3 funerals. I've done a lot of funerals. Some of you were so gullible. And I don't know how many times we've gotten up there and said, I know you're hurting. I know you miss them. I know your life's changed, because they're gone. But they're not gone forever. And how many times have we preached they're in a better place? How many times have we preached they're in a place where there is no pain anymore? How many of your loved ones suffered and it was almost a blessing to let them go? And I believe when you get to the other side, you may have been 80 years old, walking like this. Some of you are 60 and walking like this. I'm 72. Hallelujah. But I believe once they cross over, I just think you're your best self. I don't believe there's any old people in heaven. He's going to make it all new. So whenever you peaked, some of you might have been in your 40s, some in their 30s, some of you peaked real early. God help you. If you peaked at 20, bless you. It's a long life down from that. Amen. But hear what I'm saying. I think wherever that peak was, that's how you're going to look. And you're going to feel even better than you felt at your peak. How many would love to be young again without the problems? I thought I'd add that. Sometimes people say, would you like to be 30 again? No. Have to go through all that mess again? No, I'm glad to be what I am. Come on, help me. Oh, Jesus. You have hope. Say, I have hope. And people that aren't saved have no hope that they'll get through it, that it'll get better, that their loved ones win anywhere. They have no hope. Jesus, help us. Amen? Next, while waiting, say, while waiting, you need to understand that faith is sometimes hard to find. And that's normal. Quit beating yourself up. And don't let anyone else beat you up. You know what ticks me off? You're laying there in the hospital, and some idiot goes up there and says, you know, if you had faith, come to Jesus meeting here. You know what I want to tell them? Yeah, if you had faith, you could pray for them. And they'd come out of there. Don't fuss at someone else because they don't have faith when you don't have it either. Smart aleck. Whew! Glad I got that off my chest. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse whatever it is, 9. Now, when Jesus arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Remember the resurrection? Out of whom he had cast 7 demons. Woo. She went and told those who had been with him, the apostles, as they mourned and wept. Why? Because Jesus is dead. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. What? Where did that come from? They did not believe her. What do you think she saw? Was she high on something? She believed because she saw. You know, it's easy to believe when you can see it. But sometimes it's hard because you can't see the end. You can't see the solution. So it's hard to believe. And I put this point in here because I wanted to make it. And you need to understand it. The Lord knows what you're going through, and he knows it's hard to believe. And that's why he said, if you have just a little faith, the seed of just the size of a mustard seed, that's all you need. Don't beat yourself up because you're not, because it's a hard time finding faith. Am I helping anybody? Amen. Next, while waiting, so while waiting. While waiting, stay in community. It amazes me when people come into a hard place in life and they quit coming to church. They get mad at God. Or they're so depressed, they don't want to even go to church. And they think that's better. I'm here to tell you, God put us together for a reason. And I don't care how you're hurting. I don't care how bad your life is right now. I don't care how far you've gone. There's still a place for you in the house of God. This isn't a house for perfect people. This is a house for hurting people. And don't ever think that we'll turn our back on you. Romans 12:15 tells us very clearly, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Oh, help me, Jesus. We're called to connect. We give out these spiritual gift tests from Romans chapter 12. There are seven different personality types. One of them is encouragers. Pastors need to get a hold of this because it's really hard to organize encouragement. And a lot of people don't even know they have the gift. Sometimes they sit there and say, I don't know what God wants me to do. Hey, you're going to make it, buddy. I don't know what God wants me to do. Encourage. There are certain people in the church that are called in, that have the gift of encouragement. Some of you need to figure it out. Some of you might be the only gift you got, but I'm telling you, it's a powerful gift. As pastor, I wish I knew exactly who has the gift. And when someone's hurting, take about 10 of you and go see them. Because not everyone knows how to encourage people. Because some of you have the gift of meanness. Oh, no, that's not one of them. No, you have other gifts, and they're all helpful. You know, you prophets, you like to prophesy. That's why the Lord. Bless your heart. You'll have a word for somebody, and that's good. But as soon as you give up the word, you turn around, I'm out of here. And the encourager has to take the word and say, did you hear this? You're going to be all right. You're going to make it. You're getting through this somehow, some way. Listen, I feel I need to say this from the Spirit. Some hurts are from the past, way, way deep, from childhood. And you just have just accepted it, and you don't know how, and it's affecting you. And oh, I feel it right. It affects your marriage, it affects relationships, it affects your joy. And Some of you don't even remember exactly what happened, but that's the hurt. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter when it happened, because God is the God of the past, present, and future. I want you to get this. Your past is still God's present. Your past is just as real to God as your present. So he can go to your past, which is real to him, because he sees your whole life at once. So he can go to your past and heal what happened back there. And you get the results of it right now. Somebody praise the Lord. Next, while waiting, I feel like I've been preaching 2 hours. Are y'all okay? While waiting, know that it will be worth it. That what you're going through has purpose, and it will be worth it someday. Matthew 19, verse 28, Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration," let me come back to that word later, "when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, and you can add anything you want to that list, because sometimes you got to give something up. Life in the Lord is not just a bowl of cherries. There are pits in there. Jesus, help me. Some preachers say, "Oh, now you're saved. Well, everything's going to be all right." You become a Christian, you join the war. You join the battle. Things aren't always good, but my God, when they are. So add to that list anything you want. "For my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." That scripture is a blessing to me. Some of you have never left your home. Your parents live right next to you, or some of you still live with your parents. I don't know. But this is not a complaint. But people say, "Well, this is pastor's home." No, I wasn't born here. I was born in Minnesota. And I spent years in the United States Navy. Come on. Yeah. Actually, I don't even know if I have a home. Anyway, this is the best, as close as I got right here. Gloria reminds me often that I pulled her away and brought her here. Sorry. My kids grew up not seeing their grandparents once a year. And now my grandkids are growing up and they see grandpa once or twice a year. But we are where we know we're supposed to be. I don't know what you've had to give up to serve the Lord, but I'm here to tell you, he'll give it back 100-fold. I remind myself, I pastor the best church in the state of Ohio, and I remind myself I have some of the most amazing, amazing people of God that I've ever met in my life. And they have supported me. And some of you pray for us every day, and I believe it. I feel it. There are times God just says, hey, 23 people are praying for you right now. Woo! Hallelujah. So, it will be worth it someday. Someday. I like that word. Go back a verse. Regeneration. That in the, what's the regeneration? That's what Jesus is going to do at the end of time. And that word regeneration, it's the word palingenesia. No one's taking notes. Okay. And it's a Greek word, and it's really a cool word because it's hard to pin it down. But palin means creation or something that is made or something that comes together. And how many can kind of guess what genesia means? Do you see the word Genesis there? So he says, I'm going to renew you, not at the beginning, but back to the beginning. I'm going to renew you. My God, my God. One person said, he's not making new things. He's making all things new. He's going to take you and not improve you. He's going to make you new someday. Rejuvenate is from that word, generation, right? Regenerate. He's not just going to fix you. You're going to be new. It kind of goes along with what Jesus said, ye must be born again. So people say, well, I'm already new. I'm already born again. Only your spirit, man. Your spirit, oh, and this ought to bless you. Your spirit, man, has been reconnected to the Holy Spirit. The day, the moment you accept Jesus, your spirit man gets disconnected from the enemy and gets connected to the spirit. You didn't just change. You have a different family. The family you were born in is not your family anymore. You do not have any DNA from that old family. Your spirit has been born again. That means you have a different papa, a different mama, different brothers, different sisters. Don't take salvation lightly. Ye have been born again. The problem is, your body is still the old man. You have aches and pains. You have situations because your body and your mind have not been regenerated. But there's a coming a time when even that is going to be made new, as I said before. As I said before, and you're, again, he's not going to fix you. He's going to change you. A new birth, even for your body and your mind. Can someone say praise the Lord? I'm almost done if you have a problem. Understand three things real quick about this purpose and pain. You need to understand, number one, God will use it for good. The devil messes up every single time he messes with you. If you keep your faith in him, he'll take what the devil laid on you and turn it. And when you're done with it and through it, you're going to be better than you were going into it. You need to claim that in the name of Jesus. Listen, none of you have been through what Joseph went through. And I don't have time to get into the story. Go to Genesis 50 and read the last part of his life. But he gets sold out, right? His own brothers threw him in a pit to kill him. It's bad when your family's trying to kill you. They may not like you, but I don't know if they'll kill you. But because of that, he winds up in Pharaoh's court and in a prison. But eventually he comes out of the prison and he becomes the number two person in Egypt. And it says in Genesis 50, after he revealed himself to his brothers and they're all crying, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I did it." Joseph said, "No, don't worry about it. What you meant for evil, God meant for good." Come on, people. How about Esther? Remember Queen Esther? And Haman wants to kill all the Jews, and she's a Jew. The king didn't realize it. They start killing all the Jews. And Mordecai goes to her and says, "You know what? You need to take a chance. You need to go to your husband and plead our cause." She said, "I can't go to the king." They had a rule. You can only go to the king if the king calls you. If you go to the king without permission, you die. Here she comes. And I love what she says. "I'll do it. If I perish, I perish. Whatever. I know what's right. I'll take the consequences. I know the kind of person I need to be. So I'll go through hell if I have to. If all I have is a squirt gun, I'll go through hell." Whew. Hopefully you got one of those things when you could pump the water. That won't work either. You need a hose. No matter what. And you know what happens. She went to the king. He accepts her. And he saves all the Jews. And kills the guy, Haman, who tried to kill them. Sometimes it backfires on the devil. And the thing he meant for evil turns out to be worse for him, but better for you. Oh, some of you aren't getting it. You're not getting it. Come on. As I said before, he's not making a new you, but he's making you new. Whew. Come on. All things new. And God will do it. And here's my last point. Psalms 56 and 8. I just want to end with this. "You number my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" When all is said and done, he counts your days. He knows how often and how long you've been through what you've been through. He numbers your wanderings. He has a bottle. He has a bottle. And every tear that you've ever shed in pain, he catches. And on the judgment day, he's going to show you the bottle. I was there with every tear. And I saved it and I caught it to let you know I did get you through. Put your tears in a bottle. And some of you have big bottles. And number three, are they not in your book? He literally keeps a written record of your life and everything you went through. Your life is in a book. Your failings are there too, but how many know we got through it? No, let me back up. Because if he forgave you, he crosses that out. He puts that in a different book, the book of forgetfulness. He forgets. So how does God forget? Well, it's just a way for us to understand what God does. In other words, God doesn't hold it against you anymore. He will never bring it up. Never bring it up. Because all you did was say, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me and come into my life. Would you stand with me? Praise the Lord. Ooh. I probably should have cut that in half. Jesus is good. Jesus is good. Jesus is good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. I told you earlier,